Today on Real Life Radio.
For 21 centuries, that exact same gospel has been preached and is being preached, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. You can't get to heaven by good works, but by trusting God alone. And God comes in and he washes all your sin guilt away, and he puts his Holy Spirit in you, and he begins to live his life through you.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled The Christian Life, Part 4. Now, the Apostle Peter, of course, was one of the 12 disciples of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. And there were times when Peter failed the Lord indeed. But you see, here in part 4, Peter tells us that the Christian life is a life of love. We no longer desire the things of this world that wither and decay, but we're known by our love and obedience to the Lord. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that Christian love is a love that will prevail even in a dark world such as ours. The gospel message of salvation lights the way for all who want to experience true love and eternal life in heaven with the Lord. Now with his message called The Christian Life, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In our day and age, I think you know that the Christian life has suffered a lot of bumps and bruises along the way in our 21st century Christianity. Christianity in the public square is waning, and that might be a good thing in light of the lack of Christian influence in these last 50 years in America. Maybe that form of Christian life needs to go away. Maybe it's time that God awakens a small group of people, that God awakens his church with revival. And once again, the believer and the unbeliever can see the example of what the Christian life is. I mentioned to you last time in our previous study that there should be enough uniqueness and something odd about the Christian life that cannot be explained, that the God of heaven is eternal, that he's the God of all miracles, and that what he does in the world, he's never changed, and his people for 2,000 years have been known to traffic in the world of the unique, doing the unusual, creating hospitals in the middle of desert lands, reaching out to backward cultures where there was no hope, bringing to them language, education, all for the gospel. That in the name of Jesus, loving hands have gone out to reach out to those who are the unloved all around the world. The Christian life is unique. And we saw last time that it's something that is marked by obedience to God. The Christian is someone who obeys God. And I don't say that. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that to tell you this morning, obey God. Listen, I don't have to tell you to obey God if you're a Christian. Inside the Christian heart, as we looked at last time, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And it's the Spirit of God that says to you, follow me, obey me, and I'm going to lead you and guide you. It's something that is joyful. It's not some tyrannical rule as we've been looking at. We saw that to love God and to love one another is to walk in obedience to God in verse 22. Love loves to obey, not by constraint, not by compulsion, but by love. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, you can write this down in your margins, of 1 Peter. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Look at the danger. If you just listen to a sermon but never intend to do it, you deceive yourselves. Isn't that scary? Think about it. The Bible comes into you, and if you've got a heart to obey it, then it's going to be power to you. But if you listen to a Bible study and you do not intend to do it, that very word that brings life can actually bring death to you. It will pull you down because you don't intend to do anything with it, and becomes rather than a balloon to lift you up, it becomes an anchor to pull you down. Verse 23, James chapter 1 says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." Think of that. You forget what you look like. This morning I got up and I got ready to go. I just got ready to leave the house. And then I looked in the mirror, and I don't know if you can see it or not. Hopefully you can't, but I've got all these spots on my face. See, what happened to you? Did you get in a fight? I did. I got in a fight with a dermatologist, and he cut a bunch of stuff out of my face because of the sun. And I forgot what I looked like until I looked in the mirror this morning. And I realized, boy, do I look messed up this morning. I look like I got in a cat fight. And then I forgot about it until I just read this word mirror. We have a tendency to look at our lives and then we glance at it for a moment. God is speaking to us in a moment. When we open up the Bible, which is the mirror of God's righteousness, of God's holiness, we look into the mirror and it reflects to us who God is and who I am. And then we shut the Bible and we walk away. We forget what we are. That verse goes on to say, "For he who observes himself goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he is." Verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed." Look at that, mark it. This one will be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? This one will be blessed in what he does. Verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." This is good news if you want to love God and obey God. And we saw this in several ways, that it's truth. To obey is to know the truth of God, verse 22. We saw also that to obey is to be under God's influence. And we left off in the third installment of verse 22, and that is to obey is to be empowered by love. That is, of course, his love. It says to love one another fervently with a pure heart, to love God. Church, the Bible tells us, I'll paraphrase it for time's sake. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, when God gave the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20, verse 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image," that's an idol, "any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is earth, or on earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." Listen, "for the Lord your God am a jealous God." The word jealous God means I'm a God who loves you and wants your heart. He's not jealous like you and I think of jealousy, where it's sick and weird and strange. A jealousy that is singular, passionate about you. God says, I'm jealous over you. Listen, every one of us wants and rejoices in the fact that God says, I'm jealous over Jack. I'm jealous over you. God loves you specifically and powerfully. The truth of the matter is, God speaks to us regarding this, and he puts his love on display in the person of Jesus. Who's your leader? Think about it. Who is your leader in life? Who is your role model? There may be many, but I would hope that at the top, there's only one. You know what I'm saying? There's only one, and that's Jesus. The Bible tells us in John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples." Listen, not by memory verses, that's good though. Not by church attendance, well, that's good though. Not by anything else except this. As we looked at last week, we press again today, love, loving one another. Remember, church, the challenge that you are to love those that are nearest you. You don't need to get all caught up in trying to love those that are from afar. Start, as it were, in your own Jerusalem, then your Judea, then your Samaria, then to your uttermost parts of the earth, showing the love of God. That means we should be falling over. Remember what I said, falling over one another to reach out to love one another. This is the example that God gives us when he says, I love you. And so we would say, God, how do I love you back? It would be this way, loving one another. Because if you love one another, which by the way, you can't do unless you love God first properly, then that would say that you love Jesus. And notice the example that he gives us in John 16, verse 27. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking, for the Father himself loves you. Boy, you know, I challenge you right now. Go all around the world, read all the comparative religions of the world. You will find that statement nowhere else. You will never find anywhere that Buddha loves you. Did you know that? I've read the Quran. I've never seen anything in there where it says Allah loves you. Look around all the world. 2,000 years ago, the Bible announced that God loves you. The Bible says, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus goes to the Father, having given us an example, but he leaves us behind. He leaves us here. And Jesus would call us into this world to go live that life of love and of caring. You know, those pictures we saw a moment ago, those little video testimonies of those kids that had been affected by release time education. Now, I don't know those children. I don't know. Maybe some of those kids or all those kids were your kids. I don't know. But because that is release time education and it goes out into the world of the public school system, there's a high probability that those kids don't have Christian homes. And they go and they hear the gospel and they make their commitment. They make their decision regarding Jesus. How did that happen? You say, well, I don't even know who those kids are, Pastor Jack. No, you know what? I don't either. But did you not make it possible for them to hear that God loves them?
Amen.
Did you not? I've never met them. But guess what? They may live down the street from you. We don't know who they are. They might be near my house. I don't know. But your support, my support for them has caused them to hear the gospel. And you'll know that in eternity. This last week, I was reminded of a venture that you're involved in. It's not yet time to reveal to you. Want to make sure everything goes through okay, but you have played a huge role, and it hasn't even happened fully yet. You have played a huge role in reaching cultures down in the South Pacific of Polynesian belief systems, pagan. And you have made it possible for the gospel to go down and to be heard into the ears of people that you and I will never meet in this world. How is that possible? Because you love God. And what you invest in regarding God's word and getting it out, in the end, you're going to stand before God and there's going to be somebody that comes up and praises the Lord in eternity. And you will have been the one responsible for having gotten the gospel to them in East Timor, and you never met them on earth. And I don't know how it's going to come down, but I can almost sense in some holy fashion, there's going to be somewhat of a thank you. Can you imagine? I can imagine. I like imagining that. Because of love, reaching out. And by the way, it's our love that's going to counter a dark world that you and I live in now. True, active Christian love.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
You know, Jesus said something, and I'm dangerously now going from memory, so hang on to your seats. Jesus said, regarding the kingdom of God, it's a very rare verse. In the Gospels, Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffers violence. The word means the kingdom of God's attacked. And then he turns right around in the next breath and says, but the violent take it by force. It's a very unusual statement. The world wars against the gospel. Persecution, attack. Brother Andrew in Turkey and imprisoned. And other parts of the world as well. Christians under attack. The world attacks the love of God. But Jesus says, but the violent. See, Is Jesus implying we're violent? He uses the word that we would say today, but countering the world is the tenacious. The tenacious are those who have faith in God no matter what their physical, emotional weakness might be. We have our weaknesses, but our God is awesome. Our God is great. The Holy Spirit is present. We may be weak, but He is strong. And we get up and we say, you know what? Because I have this eternal message, because God is on His throne, His Holy Spirit lives in me, I'm going to stand up against a raging world and I'm going to go into that world. And Jesus said it, but the violent take it by force. We take the gospel everywhere. It cannot be defeated. It cannot be stopped. And God in you being the hope of glory is exactly what the world needs to see in a hopeless world.
Amen.
You are the light of the world. This is the Christian life. God armed you with the Bible. In you, it starts to come out of you. It's glorious, it's awesome, it's powerful. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 20, in what is known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus, John 17, 20, Jesus said as He prayed to the Father, He says, I do not pray for these alone, that is, I don't pray for My disciples only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. I love that. You got to pause sometime, do a study on the pathology of verse 20. What does that mean? You go home and ask yourself that question, study that. What does that verse mean? Did this verse happen? Did the Father answer Jesus' prayer? And all the while you're asking these deep, probing, good questions that you should do in Bible study, just take your index finger and point it up, turn it right around, and point it in your chest at you. Jesus is praying to the Father, Father, I'm not only asking You to bless these disciples, but I'm asking You to bless every one of those who come to faith in Me by word of the mouth of these disciples. And there's no limit on that. There's no expiration date on that. For 21 centuries, that exact same gospel has been preached and is being preached, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. You can't get to heaven by good works, but by trusting God alone. And God comes in and He washes all your sin guilt away, and He puts His Holy Spirit in you, and He begins to live His life through you. This is the Christian life. John 17 goes on, verse 21, that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us. That the world, here's the reason, that the world may believe that You sent Me. Wow. This is the purpose of the Christian life. If somebody asks you today, oh, where did you come from? Oh, we came from church today. Oh, what's that all about? Well, it's all about God, through my life, letting you know that Jesus Christ is Lord and He loves you and He wants you to be in His family, that the whole world might believe. That's your mission. You say, well, I thought I'm an engineer at Raytheon. You may be, but your mission first as a Christian. Raytheon puts food on your table. Are you with me? Are you a school teacher? Yes, I am. Listen, the school puts food on your table. Are you a contractor? Food on your table. Outside of that, listen, when it comes to the reason why we exist, it's that the whole world might believe. Because look, everything else is going to fade away, friends. We work hard at our jobs to feed our family and put a roof over our head, and we're supposed to. That's to keep us going, that we might tell others. I'm still in John 17, which is not even our Bible study for today, but verse 24 says, Father, listen to Him, listen to Jesus. I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be where I am. Oh, I wish the Father would answer that prayer today. And that they may behold My glory, which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. Oh, Father, Abba, Jesus would say, Abba, Papa, I'm leaving here. According to Your great plan, Father, I've submitted my life in this flesh that I've taken upon me as a human, having come from heaven to earth to live as a human, to die in their place for their salvation. I'm coming home. And so, Father, commission them, send them out, not only them, but all those who will hear this gospel that will originate from their mouths. And, oh, Father, I also pray, isn't it sweet? Oh, Father, I also pray that where I am, they might be. That's Jesus' prayer saying, Father, I'm coming home. It'd sure be nice if they could come home with me now. It'd sure be wonderful if I could just bring them now. I wish Jesus would have done that. Of course, he's got a plan, and my wish is silly. Because God's got a job for you and I to do and to live and a mission for you and I to complete. But soon, friends, remember that guy, what's his name? Andre Crouch. Remember that song, Soon and Very Soon? We're going to see the King. Someday, the Father's going to answer Jesus' prayer. By the way, Jesus said regarding that, no man knows the day or the hour. I nor angels know the day or the hour, but my Father only. Jesus said that while he was on earth. It's debated today. Now that Jesus is resurrected and in heaven, does Jesus now know the time of his coming? Some scholars say yes, and I'm good with that. Some scholars say no, and I'm good with that. That part of the humanity of Jesus still today, ladies and gentlemen, at 34 minutes after the hour in eternity, there's a man sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the resurrected God-man, Jesus Christ. And in that humanity, it may be that he still has not been given the hour in which he's allowed to come to get the bride, which fits, by the way, Jewish culture. When the son prepares the house, gets the house ready, by the way, in the Middle East, in Israel, the father builds the home, and they always leave the roof undone. That's for the next generation, and then for the next generation. Can you imagine the father turning to the son, as it was in old times, saying, all right, son, I've inspected everything that you've done, all the construction you've been working on. By the way, didn't Jesus say in John 14, I go now to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also? Jesus is preparing. He's preparing. Can you imagine at some point the father might say soon, stop, that's enough. That you just, I don't know, in my mind's eye, I see Chip and Joanna Gaines making the perfect home, and she puts her little vase just at the right spot, and at some point, it's done. And that's when your jaw drops, when they show you what they did to this junk of a house. Can you imagine? God made the earth and the heavens and all that there is in a matter of days. For 2,000 years, Jesus has been preparing for us heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Christian Life, Part 4. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So, Pastor Jack, our featured offer of the month is What You Need to Know About the Rapture, and it's written by Charles Ryrie. And Ryrie is a name that I recognize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Ryrie Study Bible?
Right.
I just put the two and two. I'm pretty smart, don't you think?
There you go.
But I'll tell you what, trying to find your copy of the Ryrie Study Bible.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, Davey, the Ryrie Study Bible is out there everywhere except if you're looking for the New King James.
Right.
There's a big story behind that. We don't have the time to get into all of it, but I can tell you this, that one of my most recent copies that were found. I have somebody that's actually looking for the New King James of Ryrie always because they don't make them anymore.
Right.
Dr. Charles C. Ryrie was a profound theologian, and he was the general editor of that project, the Ryrie Study Bible. If anybody has a Ryrie Study Bible in the New King James Version, it is a treasure. So hang on to it, everybody. But listen, we're talking about, I think you mean, Davey, a new book.
Let's talk about it.
Even though he's in heaven now, his family has put out this book through the wonderful people at Harvest House Publishers, and it's titled What You Need to Know About the Rapture. And Ryrie was an expert on what is known as biblical eschatology. So it answers a lot of questions. It causes people to come to a better understanding. You know, some people are being lied to today that there is no rapture.
Mm.
Yeah. People are saying that, well, no, it's if there is one, it's you know, this way or that way.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible makes it very clear there is a rapture. It pertains to the church, and it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, with that, it is a doctrine that requires of us to be looking for Christ now. So if you think about it, Davey, it's very powerful. We are supposed to be planning and living, yeah. occupied till I come,
yeah.
for the next 50 to 100 years, yeah. right? We yeah. make decisions that will affect the next generation. Yeah. Yet at the same time, we are to be living with an eye toward heaven mm-hmm. because the trumpet could blast at any time.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. You're being so, ready for it.
Yeah,
being
so ready. This is a great book for that. What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Dr. Ryrie.
What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Charles Ryrie. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.